Well, the word nuclear is politically charged in this country. Intensely held views are already being expressed about the safety of submarines with nuclear reactors on board docking in Australian ports. And while the Prime Minister has issued an assurance that there's no intention to establish a civil nuclear capability for Australia off the back of this submarine decision, critics fear this will open the door for those in the government who see nuclear power as the answer to reaching net zero carbon emissions. David Lipson reports.
Up till 3am on an entirely separate matter, the ANU's head of nuclear physics, Professor Andrew Stutchbury, woke late to a landscape transformed in his chosen field.
I got up about 8 and my wife said they've just announced that they're going to build nuclear submarines with a deal, and there was already about 50 emails in my inbox.
Until now, many of his students haven't had a clear career path to actually apply their skills in nuclear science.
It is exciting for new career opportunities, not just to make these submarines work well, but to make sure that they operate safely for everybody's benefit.
In strategic terms, the advantages of nuclear submarines are clear, according to Dr. Marcus Hellyer from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute.
With a highly enriched uranium reactor, you don't need to refuel it, and it's essentially producing enough energy to move an 8,000-ton vessel through the water at around about 60 kilometres an hour for 30 years.
But such wonders of technology require the highest levels of expertise, of which the Australian Navy currently has very little.
You know, when you look at US nuclear submarines, the skipper of that submarine, you know, has had a 25-year career, and they actually have to understand all of the nuclear engineering. You know, we've got a long road ahead of us to develop, you know, comparable skills.
The larger question is whether Australia can feasibly become the only nation on Earth with nuclear-propelled submarines but no civilian nuclear capacity to support them.
It looks like the government has answered that question to its own satisfaction and reached the conclusion that you can just go out and buy that technology. But what it does mean is that, again, you are very reliant on your partner to provide and maintain that technology.
Even with all the support in the world, Australia still needs to bridge a huge gap in human capital in order to safely run and maintain a fleet of floating nuclear reactors. That's according to Maria Rubley, an associate professor at Monash University.
In terms of the regulatory space, in terms of practicalities, you know, the type of health equipment you would need to have on site. I mean, there's a huge blank, empty area where we just don't have any experience. We don't know what needs to be done there, and we don't know how much it's going to cost.
There is time to prepare and build capacity, around 2 decades before the first submarine is operational. But Associate Professor Rubley says in this space, there's no room for error.
You know, we're not going to see a mushroom cloud in the sky, but we could have a criticality accident where you have nuclear material spread. You could have people die, and then you could have, you know, lingering high levels of radiation in the area for decades. You know, this is not something to be toyed with lightly.
I think it is an enormous step that the government is taking, and it's one that appears to be taking without a great deal of thought, and certainly not without any public thought.
Richard Tanter is a senior research associate at the Nautilus Institute, a defence and sustainability think tank. He's concerned about the lack of public debate on an issue of such grave importance.
So it begins with nuclear safety. It goes through to maintenance. Even if the fuel cells are not recharged during the lifetime of the submarine, they will need to be examined closely and in some cases repaired on site. So for that, we need a nuclear engineering capability of some substance.
And he believes that could pave the way for Australia to play a much bigger role on the nuclear stage.
It also actually aligns with the preferences of the Deputy Prime Minister at the moment for nuclear civil engineering in Australia as a solution to climate change. So it does open up the possibility there of nuclear power in Australia more generally.
To date, the politics of all matters nuclear have been almost as toxic as the byproduct. There could yet be choppy waters ahead.
David Lipson with that report.